And this morning I was busy combing Emma Joy's hair. I don't always do a very good job with that. Ingrid is much better and making her ready. And I was busy with her hair, and she's sitting there. And for the past 2 mornings, she's 4 years old. She's been sleeping late, like late. And then I go into the room, and then she's almost like a teenager, you know? And asks us if she can please sleep a little bit more. I was like, wow. You know, some parents pray for that, you know, at that stage. Anyways, we have her out of bed, and we're busy with her hair. And I ask her, Emma Joy, Daddy's preaching this morning. Is there anything I must say to the people? And she's silent, and she goes, Daddy must tell them Jesus loves them. That's all she said. And this morning, to a certain extent, funny enough, my hope is that is where we will end. That you would know the Father loves you. He does. The cross is a picture of the Father's love for you. But it's also an invitation this morning. It's not just a love that says, you know, I'm going to leave you as you is, and you are beautiful just as you are, and you know, you are worthy, and all these things. That's not what that love says. That love, if you open up your heart, I always say, the love of God is like being hit by a truck. You are never the same. That's the love of God. As soon as you open up your heart, it comes and it grips you, and you will never be the same. It will change. It actually invites you to come and die as Jesus has died on the cross. To yourself. And this morning, the invitation is clear. And I want to start with this. And I'm going to run a little bit through because I want to honor the time this morning. But if you can start with John 8 verse 29 for me this morning. I'm going to read for you. Jesus is speaking. It says, the one, the Father who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone, for I always do what pleases Him. Jesus spoke of the Father. And these, we get a sense of the mission that Jesus came with. Yes, it's true. And you're going to see in Luke 19, we read about Jesus saying, listen, I came to seek and save the lost. He says that in Luke 19. Amen? Do you guys believe Jesus came to save the lost? Yes, amen. But John 8 verse 29, he speaks and he says, part of, yes, coming to seeking and saving the lost, here's actually a core to what Jesus came to do. When Jesus came to this earth, He represented the Father. He represented the Father. Nothing that Jesus did or think or where He walked, what He did in His daily life, nothing was outside of the will of the Father. Jesus presented the Father accurately. Now, if you're a parent here this morning, whom of you have ever looked at your child, specifically fathers, you look at your child, and when your child does something well, you go, ah, that's my genes. And when the child doesn't do something well, you're like, ah, he's copying the mother. Yes, you know what I'm speaking about. And there is truth in this, then. And I often look at Emma Joy Nathan and I see the way that they act, good and bad. And I realize, oh, there's something of me being reflected here. Because unfortunately, the truth today is, unfortunately and fortunately, that fathers and mothers, you need to know your child obviously will copy you and live the way you live. And here we have Jesus being sent by the Father, and He presents the Father accurately. In everything, He says He lives to please the Father. Isn't that beautiful? I want to go to John 10, verse 30. Hear this statement. Oh, almost feels like every time I read this, I feel like someone is just piercing my heart in a good way. When Jesus spoke about the Father, He would just say, I and the Father are one. That is quite a statement to make. It was controversial at the time because He was basically telling the people around Him, I am God, by saying, I and the Father are one. They didn't like that. But He was also saying, oh, I have intimacy with the Father. I am one. I'm close to the Father. I walk with the Father. You see, everything you and I read about Jesus is the Father's heart displayed. I think of Zacchaeus, when He called Zacchaeus down that tree, that was the Father's heart displaying. Mary of Bethany, which you all know about. Actually, the Bible says Mary of Bethany was full of demons. And somewhere, we actually don't have that story in the Bible, but somewhere she got delivered. And hopefully, and I know it was by Jesus. That was the Father's heart displayed. Jesus on the cross wasn't just Jesus' idea. I know all of you know this, but you need to hear this. That's the Father's heart displayed. Jesus is one with the Father. I love how Hebrews 1 verse 3 says it. Hear this. The Son, the firstborn, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. That sounds very big words, I know. But the Son is the radiance of God's glory. Think of the sun if you go outside. Not the sun, the sun. The bright fireball that every day is in the air, you know? And you walk out, and I have said this before, please never look into the sun. You can only do it about 7 seconds before your eye is damaged forever. But if you walk out, the reason you can see a little bit of the sun is because of the light and the rays of the sun that reaches your eyes. And here you have a similar picture. The sun, Jesus, is the ray of the God's glory. As you and I study in the Word of who Jesus is, as you and I get to know who Jesus is, as we spend time with Him, as we encounter His face and His heart, you get to know the Father. Isn't that beautiful? And I know in this room, there's many of us sitting, and it's like, listen, I'm actually fine with Jesus, but Skulk, you don't know from what circumstances I come from. You don't know the father figure in my life. Louise actually so beautifully testified in the prayer meeting this morning. And so I'm sure there's many stories in this room when it comes to fathers. And you know, I worked in a public high school for 6 years of my life. Everyone is fine when you speak about Jesus. As soon as you speak about the Father, everyone closes down. You literally see it over their faces when you speak about the Father heart of God. They close down. They want nothing to do with Him because most of them come out of broken homes where the father's absent or the father's whatever, abusive or whatever it is. And maybe you've been through that. And maybe as soon as I use the word father, you close down your heart. But we cannot follow Jesus according to our experiences. We need to look at the truth. And the truth is Jesus is the exact representation. Actually, that word comes from the word stamp. If you put stamp in ink and you put it on a paper, what's on the stamp is now on the paper. It says Jesus is like that. As you see Jesus, you actually see the Father. And you need to shift your heart according to the truth and not live and see your world according to your experience. Amen. I know it's easier said than done. I grew up without a dad. My father died when I was 1-2 years old, died of cancer. Grew up for 16 years. My mom is here somewhere in the back there. She's helping us out with Emma and Nathan. And she raised us, basically. She was like a mom and a dad to us, you know. So I know. I struggled to relate with father because I always felt he was absent. He wasn't here. I felt like he was gone. Jesus, yes, amen, Father, I don't understand it. But we need to, according to the Word, it's actually vital, it's core to the gospel, understand that Jesus presented the Father. And hopefully His picture would redeem your picture this morning, amen? And I want to go to one story in Luke 15 that most of you know, and I'm going to end with this. I'm almost done, Lee, I'm almost done. You're all still with me. Luke 15, most of you know the story of the prodigal son. Now, it's interesting, the story starts where Jesus sits and eats with sinners. It actually says at verse 1, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Verse 3, so Jesus told them this parable. So get this picture quickly with me. Jesus is eating with sinners. The religious Pharisees of that time comes there. I don't know if it was in a room or outside. And they're like, Jesus, what are you doing? You cannot eat with sinners. And there's these two extreme groups, the over-religious and those that are very far away from God in one place. And Jesus tells a parable. And you can read with me Luke 15. I'm going to read and stop if that's fine. 15 verse 11. And Jesus said, there was a man with two sons. And the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Now this young son comes to the father and said, give me the share of my property. Give me my inheritance. Now basically, to put it in plain language, what he did there, and in the Jewish culture, basically said, hey, I wish you were dead. I mean, that is was probably the most extreme rebellious place you can be. Go to your father and to say in his face, basically, I wish you were dead. Give me what belongs to me. And you know what blows my mind when you read the story? And he divided his property between them. The father did it. I mean, we can see this father wasn't an Afrikaans dad. The Afrikaans ooms are laughing because they know he would have had 10 of the best lashes in that moment. This, it's the kindness of God that he divided his property between these sons. You know, it's interesting, the scripture in Deuteronomy 21, John. This is actually what needs to happen to the son according to the law and the Jewish law. Read this. We actually don't know this, but this is what the law said. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate, whatever, and a drunkard. Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. So this son, I wish you were dead, deserves to be stoned to death. Not many days later, the youngest son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine, a droogte, arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He went and he gave himself, he hired himself out. He was in this place with the father, but he ended up where he had to give himself so he could survive, okay? And feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods of the pigs, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, when he realized, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. He wanted to go and say, hire me back. I'm going to work. I'm going to pay my debt. I'm not going to come as a son. I'm going to come as a slave, and I'm going to pay my debt. I'm going to pay back what I owe you. I will arise and go to my father. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But where he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now most of you is like, oh, the father came and embraced him and kissed him and loved him. But hear this. He came back. The son came back. What did Deuteronomy 21 say? That son had to be stoned now. Now, can you imagine this son coming back? I can just see this whole picture playing off in front of me. The community is there. The son is far off. The father sees the son. And in that time, I don't know if you know, but they wore tunics. Okay? Dresses. They wore dresses, the men. Not dresses like today. You know what I mean. So the father that ran had to literally pull up that dress and lift his knees and run, which was a very humiliating thing to do for fathers at that time. Fathers wouldn't act like that. Now, I love the fact that as the son would have came back, the community's focus would have been on the son. And suddenly, from far off, there's the dad running with his tunic up and his knees laid bare. And he looks foolish. And it's almost like the focus goes from the son to what on earth? And they see this father running. Hear this. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, ran, embraced him, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him. It was the father's robe. It was taken, it was put around that son. What is that? The gospel. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 21, hear this, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, I'm not sure if I gave it to you, but he who knew no sin became sin so that you and I can be in right standing before the Father. There was an exchange happening here. The Father took off his cloak, he put it around the Son and he covered the Son. That is the gospel. He was filthy, he came from pigs and the Father came and put his cloak around him. Almost done. And the father said to his servant, bring the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. A ring. At that time, they have something called a signet ring. Well, literally, if you were part of a family, you had a ring. And they would melt a candle and there will be wax. And they would take that ring, they would press it in the wax. And if you write a letter, you take basically the wax and the ring and you put it in the end of the letter, and it's as if the father wrote it. As if the father wrote it. So the son came and said, listen, I'm not worthy. The fact that the father gave him a ring was saying, I'm restoring you back into the family. So if you had to write a letter and put that ring in the end of it, it's as if the father wrote it. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? And he goes on and he says, he gave him sandals. Slaves in that time walked bare feet. Sons wore sandals. And here's the father, bring sandals on. You need to hear this. The son did nothing to deserve any of this. We live in a culture that will come and say, you are so special. You're special. God lives his life because of you. No, that's wrong. Yes, he loves you. Yes, all of us are unique. But you did nothing to deserve it. You did nothing. This is the mercy and the love and the grace of God in action. And it actually has nothing to do with you. Don't take the credit. It's him. And then something happened. They put a calf out. I'm not going to focus on that. And then the father says in verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to celebrate. Now hear verse 25. We usually stop here. If you're a prodigal son, come to the front. You know, that's where we stop. But there's actually another story. Remember, there were two groups of people in that room. The sinners and the religious. And he goes on and he actually starts speaking to the religious people. And he says, now his oldest son was in the field. The oldest son didn't choose to go away. He stayed in that field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. I can just imagine he's busy with his duties. He didn't leave the father. He's busy with his duties. He walked past the house and it's like, oomph, oomph, oomph. You know, I don't know what music they're playing. But he's like, what is going on there? I wonder, what is happening? And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to them, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. The older brother, as he heard this, he was angry and he refused to go in. You have this most profound sentence here that you and I, we don't notice this. Hear this. His father came out. It's the father that runs. The younger son, the father ran. The older son, it's disrespectful. Again, in the Jewish context, when there's a party or you're hosting something, to call out the host. And here the older son refuses to go in, and the father, what does the father do? Comes to him. The older son doesn't deserve it. But he answered his father, look, these many years I've stayed here, I've served you. I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours came, who's devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this, your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and it is found. See, Jesus was telling this story. He was actually telling the story of Jesus and the heart of the Father to those that were lost and to the Pharisees. It was the same message. It's that whether you are far away rebellious this morning or whether you're jumping through the religious hoops, you go to church, you go to comm, you do all these things. Doesn't matter if you do it with a disconnected heart. The younger brother and the older brother both needed one thing, and that was connection with the Father. Connection with the Father. And you see, this is an invitation this morning to each one of us. Quickly, just close your eyes where you are. He's the Father that runs. And this morning He's running. In our brokenness, in our distorted picture of the Father, wherever you come from this morning, whatever you've been through this morning, whether you are a teenager, maybe even a younger child, or whether you're old and you've been through everything, you know, and you carry wisdom, there's an invitation for all of us this morning. For those that are far, rebellious, that's actually never felt connection with a father. And even for those of us, that's like the old brother. We had connection once, but we've lost it. We fall just in religious talk and religious doing. And I love how Hebrews 1 verse 2 says it. There was a time that God spoke to us through the prophets of old. Now He speaks to us through His Son. I love how the book of Hebrews starts. And this morning He speaks to us through His Son. And it's the invitation, as Lee said at the beginning, come close to the Father. He's paid the price. It's not because you're special. It's because of Him.